the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special, which comes to you. The topic of this program is Naming the Child.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Thursday, is the 24th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 10th of December 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Surah Ash-Shura, verses 49 to 50.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Lillahi mulku as-samawati wal-ard. Yakhluqu ma yasha'. Yahabu liman yasha'u inathan wa yahabu liman yasha'u dhukur.
To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He creates what He wills. He gives to whom He wills female children, and He gives to whom He wills males.
أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ.
Or he makes them both males and females, and he renders whom he wills barren. Indeed, he is knowing and competent.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The sovereignty of the heavens and the earth solely belongs to God Almighty, since He is the possessor of the heavens and the earth. And creation of the world and all creatures has been made possible through His omnipotence and omniscience, and everything is dependent upon His will. He bestows male and female offspring upon whomever He wills as per His discretion and wisdom. He may bestow male and female offspring in pairs of many male and female offspring. It is dependent upon His wisdom and discretion that He makes some females barren and sterile. He is the omnipotent, the omniscient. These blessed verses make a reference to divine perfect might and knowledge. Nothing may impede His will. The child. Names are a valuable source of information. They can indicate gender, marital status, birthplace, nationality, ethnicity, religion, and position within a family or even within a society. However, naming practices vary enormously across the globe. Imam Baghir says, "Beware of Satan when he hears that someone is called as Muhammad and Ali. He melts in such a way as the lead melts, and when he hears that someone is named after one of our enemies, he is overwhelmed with happiness." The Prophet of Islam said, "Whoever gets four sons and he has not named even one after me has been cruel on me." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with names and choosing names for our children. So we find that, I mean, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first infallible Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, indicated it in a piece of discourse, in that people are advised to select good names for the babies before they are born, because in case a boy is born, healthy, well, he or she has received a good name. And in case the baby is miscarried in the world hereafter, on the day of resurrection, they wouldn't be left nameless, and they wouldn't raise any objection against the parents why they had left them nameless. Once one of the companions of the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, asked him that, "Oh Imam, we name our children, according to your names and the names of your ancestors, would it benefit us?" Then Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam stressed that certainly it's beneficial. However, it's really unfortunate that we find that nowadays in some Muslim communities, we find that some people choose names, that pertain to other cultures or other denominations or other, camps of thought. While we find that Muslims are identified because of the names like, for example, Muhammad, Ali, Hussein, Hassan, and so on. Because of this, we find that it's very important which name we would choose for our children.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Islamic tips on naming Muslim baby. This part is about at Konya, that means honorary family title or father's last name. It is mentioned in the Quran that a person's name should have his or her father's name. In the Quran, Allah says, "Call them by the names of their fathers. It is more just in the sight of Allah. But if you do not know their fathers, then they are still your brothers in religion and those entrusted to you. And there is no blame upon you for that in which you have erred, but only for what your hearts intended. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful." Chapter Ahzab, 33, verse 5.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, شفاعة أنا لها.
Islamic naming system. Islam prohibits naming the person as the slave of other than Allah, such as Abdul Kaaba, that means the slave of Kaaba. For all Allah's creation are only the slaves of Allah and can only call themselves as such using Allah's name, such as Abdullah, that means the slave of Allah, Abdul Rahman, the slave of the Most Beneficent. In addition, Islam prohibits using the name the King of Kings, for the Messenger of Allah said what translated means the most hated name to Allah, the exalted and ever high, is a man who calls himself the King of Kings. Also included in this category are the Prince of Princes, the wisest ruler, His Highness, His Majesty, and the Supreme Judge.
I do this dua every day, and this comfort and this joy, my friends, does not come for free. It's not just going to happen automatically one day. It's not going to be planted in my children when they are in school. If I want comfort for my children, don't think that the public schools will teach my children to be in that way. Don't think that the TV will teach my child to be in a way in which I will be comfortable. The TV nor the public schools will teach our children respect your parents. Never. I went to public schools. I watched the TV. Never ever in my life I hear a teacher respect your parents. Even if there is, it's very rare. This only comes from what? From my hard work, brothers and sisters. My effort. The more time I spend on my children, the more effort I put into them, the greater the result. Just like business. If you have a business, the more time you spend on your business, the greater the profit. The same exact thing applies with our children. That's why we have to spend time with our children, my friends. We should not neglect them. Do you know now in America, in the U.S., has the highest rate of prisoners in the world? And just yesterday or 2 days ago, I was reading something in the news that so many senators and congressmen, they want to find a solution to this huge population of inmates in America. What do we do with all these inmates? Not only is it, bad for us, but it's also costing us, because all these inmates are being spent on from our taxes. So what do? Do you know what's the leading cause to crime in America? Why do people commit crimes? The leading cause to crime and substance abuse, drugs, is what? Studies say the leading cause to crime and substance abuse is the absence of the father in the family. When there is no guiding father in the family, the human being collapses.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us reflect on what the Prophet's divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said about prosperity in life and salvation in the afterlife. Charity is an effective cure, and the actions of people in their present life will be before their eyes in the next life.
Thank you. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. This world that we're in has a certain value, has a certain worth to us and then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst us, as in human beings, the level of the worth of the world depends on our sight, or rather our foresight. What do we see the world as? Do we see the world as a means, or do we see the world as an objective? If it's a means, then it's also very worthy, but only as a means. If it's our objective, it has a greater worth. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that very being that created this world, what is the worth of it? That is, this world, besides, you know, being a means for the believers to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is its real worth for those who see it as an objective? Does it have any worth? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in the tradition that we will share with you today, has a very beautiful tradition in this regard. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that if the world was worth the same as the wing of a mosquito — the wing of a mosquito doesn't have that much worth, but if it even had that much worth, right, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight, that even if the world, with all of its glitz and glamour within it, had the same worth as that wing of a mosquito — that for the mosquito has a lot of worth, for us it has no worth. What is that wing of a mosquito going to do for us? Can't do anything. The disbeliever and the insolent person would never get to drink a sip of water from it. If the world had that much worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the size and the minuteness of the wing of a mosquito, or the wing of a flying insect, whatever that insect may be — you can even bring it smaller. You have some mosquitoes who are quite big, or even smaller, you know, a gnat, for example, a very tiny insect with a very small wing. It has absolutely no benefit. If the world had even that much worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would not give it to you. But because the world has no worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who do not believe in me, he says, those who do not even consider me, those who do not even want to act in accordance with my divine law, seek your pleasures from this world. It has no benefit to me. You may feel it has benefit to you, but in reality, it has no benefit to you. For those who seek it as an objective — this is the key clause in this statement — however, those who seek it as a means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has extreme worth in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can be seen in other traditions. But the world in and of itself, as a material thing that is sought as an objective, has that much worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has no worth whatsoever. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows those within it to seek from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of those who seek the world as a means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy.
to send me a peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Dr. T.V.N. Persaud, Professor of Anatomy, Pediatrics, and Child Health, Obstetrics, Gynecology, Reproductive Sciences at the University of Manitoba, said, "There are too many accuracies in the Quran, and like Dr. Moore, I have no difficulty in my mind that this is a divine inspiration or revelation which led him to these statements." Dear listeners, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 14 to 17 of Suratul An'am, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat Anbar. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أغير الله أتخذ وليا فاطر السماوات والأرض وهو يطعم ولا يطعم. قل إني أمرت أن أكون أول من أسلم ولا تكونن من المشركين. قل إني أخاف إن عصيت ربي عذاب يوم عظيم. يصرف عنه يومئذ فقد رحمه وذلك الفوز المبين وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يمسسك بخير فهو على كل شيء قدير صدق
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah An'am, verses 14 to 17 by Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat Anwar. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أغير الله أتخذ وليا Okay, we have أغير غين has Let's talk about the place of articulation of غين We use the root of the tongue or we could say the top part of the throat which is called أدنى الحلق, the closest part to the mouth, the throat, which is the closest part to the mouth, okay? The top of the throat, غين, غين, and we make a gargling sound, with, and we tighten the top of the throat, actually, and by doing that, we make the sound of غين, غين, as if you're gargling with water. قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ اتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ We have إخفاء of Nun Sakina here. إخفاء because we have a tanween followed by one of the letters of إخفاء. وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Now, when we reach the word al-arb, we have to make sure that the dad, if we want to stop on it, we don't pronounce it with qalqala, because dad is not a letter of qalqala. If you say wal-arb, wal-arb, that's incorrect. You have to hold the dad in its place of articulation and release it slowly and gently. Wal-arb, wal-arb. See, we have this. The sound resonates in the mouth a little bit whenever you pronounce it. Of course, it should be pronounced in this way at all times, whether it has a sukoon or if it has a haraka. It doesn't make a difference. Wal-ardi, wal-ardi, li, li, li. See, wad stretches a little bit in its place of articulation, and this is known as istitala of wad. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ We have the two qalqalas of ta. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَسْلَمُ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ We have مَدُّ الْمُنْفَصِلِ You can lengthen it to two, four, or five vowel counts. umirtu. The ra is pronounced with tarqiq because ra is sakin and preceded by a letter with a kasra. وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Okay, مُشْرِكِين. The ra has tarqiq again because the ra has kasra. قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. عَصَيْتُ عَصَيْتُ. The sad has tafkhin. You have to pronounce it with the root of the tongue raised and the pharynx constricted.
مَنْ يُصْرَفْ عَنْهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَقَدْ رَحِيمَهُ.
مَنْ يُصْرَفْ, we have idgham ma'a al-ghunnah, idgham of noon sakinah ma'a al-ghunnah. So you have to hold the ya nasally for two vowel counts.
وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ.
وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ, again we have idgham ma'a al-ghunnah, فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. We have مد المنفصل here. لَهُ, we have إشباع of how الضمير followed by a hamza in another word, so مد المنفصل takes place.
وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ.
And finally we have إخفاف نون ساكنة in the phrase شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Thank you dear listeners for listening to this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كتاب الله, كتاب الله,
كتاب الله.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. In continuing our discussion on the Mu'allaqat al-Sabh, but the seven poems that were hung around the Kaaba. Obviously, this was an honor for the poem, rather the poet, who was able to hang or get his poem attached to the wall of the Holy Kaaba. But it is mentioned that once the Arab poets, obviously now we know that these poets were the best of the best. They were the most skilled in the language of Arabic. Therefore, they would do this. They would, you know, produce these poems and produce it in such a way that it would be an honor for them, honor for their tribe, for example. And, you know, it will be something when people would come for Hajj, they would see it, and their tribe will become known. That individual will become known, his, you know, for example, his people will become known, his tribe will become known, the place where he's from will become known, and so on and so forth. Why? Because people have come into the Kaaba for pilgrimage. But when the verse of Surah Hud, that is the 44th verse of Surah Hud, was revealed, and these Arabs and the poets became aware of it, they themselves, you know, lost the importance of their own poetry. When they saw the eloquence, the rhetoric, and the balagha and the fasaha of this verse of the Holy Quran, it is said that they themselves refused to produce poetry to place on the Kaaba, and it is said that they themselves, if they had a poem there, they removed it because they saw that, no, this is not worthy of being here if such a verse is out there. If someone like this can, if something like this is produced, then how can we consider our poems to be the best when something like this is out there? Hence, being one of the seven poems, or one of the mu'allaqat al-sab, or the seven hanging poems, lost its importance to them. But they saw that, no, I have to challenge something else now. This is something that they said, no. It could be taken like this, that they removed it in order to say, okay, until I am able to beat these verses of the Holy Quran, especially this verse, according to some traditions or some historical, it is not hadith, but some historical narrations, until I am not able to beat it, I do not deserve my poem to be hung around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why they kind of faded away. These poems faded away. Not because they were not good poets, no, because they understood. Because they were good poets, they understood the miraculous nature and the eloquence and the fasaha and the rhetoric of this verse of the Holy Quran and in the Holy Quran in general. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be those who are able to understand the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran. And if we're not able to do it, because obviously most of us are not Arab, we still take lessons from it, and we still are able to benefit from this divine banquet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in front of us. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر حسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يوهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'in rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Dear sisters and brothers in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The pandemic of COVID-19, especially its surge these days, reminds us of the reality of death. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection against this virus and for peace for those who have passed away. What can we do to improve the spiritual state of our family members and friends who have passed away? Is placing a bouquet of flower on their graves going to help them? Well, in the religious literature, we have the concept of isal al-sawab, which means sending the gifts or sending the thawab and reward of good deeds to those who have died. These gifts or hadiyah can take different forms. For example, when we look at the issue of praying for forgiveness for them, the Quran gives the example of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, especially for his parents. In Surah number 17, ayat 41, there is a dua which says, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. O my Lord, have mercy on my parents the way they raised and nurtured me when I was a child. That is Surah number 14, ayat 41. There is a dua again from Ibrahim, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدِيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. O my Lord, forgive me, my parents, and the believers on the day of reckoning. You can make this dua part of the qunut of your daily prayers. Then we come to the second example, which is recitation of the Holy Quran. Whether you do it just one Surah Fatiha, the opening chapter, or Surah Al-Ikhlas, which is also known as Surah Tawheed, or reciting Surah Yasin. Then we come to the third example of Isal al-Sawab, and that is Sadaqah, giving charity for the Sawab and reward of the marhumin, those who have passed away. This can be either one-time charity, you give something once and that's the end of the story, and the Sawab goes to the deceased, or you can do something which is known as perpetual or continuous charity, known as Sadaqah Jariyah, where you establish something, a process which will continue. As long as the benefit of that charity continues, the reward will go on continuing for the departed soul that you have dedicated the thawab for that individual. For example, it could be a water well, it could be a school, it could be a health facility, anything. As long as those works are going on, the thawab and ajr and reward will continue for the marhumin and those who have passed away. When it comes to the issue of charity for Isal al-Sawab, be creative. For example, it has become a common practice that when a person dies, for his or her 40th majlis, the family prints booklets of Surah Yasin for distribution among the audience with the hope that it is recited and the thawab of that will go to the deceased. Tell me, which Muslim house doesn't have a Quran? Which Quran doesn't have Surah Yasin? So be creative. Look for something that will help the community and also generate thawab and reward for the deceased. You know, support the education of the poor children in the community, or a project which can help the community to move further. If you really are fixed on the idea of printing something, then select a dua from Saif al-Sajjadiyah so that people may be familiar with Saif al-Sajjadiyah, or a sermon from Nahjul Balagha, you know, where the people can then gain benefit from these words of Amirul Mu'mineen, or a useful book that people can use to learn and practice the faith, or a book that can help in propagating the Shia Madhab among others. And so these are all different, you know, possibilities out there, even if you are thinking about the idea of printing something for the dedication of those who have passed away. Finally, the issue of visiting the graves, that also has its own merit in Islamic faith. Somebody asked Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam about visiting the graves of the dear and the near ones who have passed away. And Imam said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ فَذُرْهُمْ. Imam says, especially on Fridays, go and visit the grave. Because those who are in a restrained situation in their second phase of existence between death and the resurrection, وُسِعَ عَلَيْهِ مَا بَيْنَ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ إِلَى طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. Between the dawn time and the sunrise, they are given some relief. يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَنْ آتَاهُمْ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ. They also know who is coming to visit them every day. فَإِذَا طَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسِ كَانَ سُدَى. And when the sunrise starts, they feel lonely. And so the narrator then asked the Imam, فَيَعْلَمُونَ بِمَنْ أَتَاهُمْ فَيَفْرَحُونَ بِهِ. Do the people in the grave know who has come to visit them? And do they feel happy with that? And Imam said, yes, they feel happy and they feel sad and lonely when the visitor moves away and goes away. And so even visiting the graves, if the graves of your near and dear ones are in the town, you know, make a point of visiting that. That will also relieve them. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful and forgiving towards the believers.
and looks for an excuse to forgive them. Let me end with a story narrated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about a son's charity which helped his father. Although the son had done the charity without the intention of dedicating that to his deceased father, the Prophet says that once Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam was passing by a grave where a person was being punished. A year after that, he happened to pass by the same grave, and he saw that the situation of this person in the grave has changed. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, "Oh my Lord, I passed by this grave last year, and this person was being punished. Today, I passed by and I see things are calm with him." And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him by saying, "Ya Ruh Allah, O Isa, innahu adraka lahu waladun salih," you know, a good son, a righteous son of this person, reached to the age of maturity, fa'aslaha tariqan wa'awa yateeman, and part of his charity was that he repaired a road for the usage of the people and provided shelter for an orphan. فَغَفَرْتُ لُهُ بِمَا عَمِلَ إِبْنُهُ. Allah says, "I forgave the father because of the good deeds of the son." So do what you can for your near and dear ones who have passed away, and also be a good doer yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and increase your tawfiqat. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you for joining us on brand new episodes of Back to Reality. Only on IRIB English Radio. I am your humble host, Zainab. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening, or morning, or afternoon, wherever it is that you are and whatever time it is that this is airing for you. In the studio with me, I have two special guests, my brothers in faith and humanity. Brother Muzaffar, salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sister. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. And Brother Wahid.
Salamu alaykum
wa alaykum wa rahmatullah. You might want to remove that mask because your voice is incredibly muffled.
Really? Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being with us. So, are you guys friends? Do you guys like each other?
We're friends, but we don't necessarily like each other, right, Wahid?
That's not how it works.
No. Oh,
that's
shoot.
Not
is
how
that just
works.
One-sided? Okay.
I like all my brothers.
It's possible for you.
Especially our sheikh, who is a mujahid, too.
It's possible for you to like each other but not be friends.
It's unrequited.
But it's not possible for you to be friends but not like each other.
Mm-hmm. You can have a friend that you don't like.
I agree.
You're just forced to be friends with him. I think
you're not friends anymore. You're acquaintances.
Okay.
Friends is more intimate.
Mm. Yes,
it's
friends
more intimate?
Is in the heart.
Okay.
It's deep. It's, you know.
So you can like someone, but you don't need to necessarily be a friend of that person.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So let me just look up the definition of friend.
God forbid, you wouldn't be enemies or anything, would you?
No. We couldn't be enemies. No.
I don't have no
friend. A person with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically one exclusive. Never mind that. Exclusive of family relations.
There we go. See, so it's not possible to be friends and not like each other.
Or a member of the religious society of friends, a Quaker. We're not Quakers.
And you're not enemies.
No,
what does it take?
We're not enemies.
Sayyid Wahid, what does it take for someone to be your enemy?
Well, first of all, we have an enemy within us, and that is the carnal soul, what we call the nafs, and that is the primary enemy that we need to get rid of and annihilate and reach a certain spiritual level where we, in Irfan, we use the terminology of fana, which means annihilation. Basically, you're not a person who's walking, but is dead. You're actually a living person who actually lives in the now. And those carnal or evil whims that you have within yourself, you have annihilated all of them. And that is a very high spiritual level that you need
to
reach.
So you'd say that you're your own number one enemy.
Your nafs is your number one enemy. Many times, shaitan doesn't need to do anything. And he is one of the signs of Allah. So he doesn't need to do anything for you. Your nafs has already done it. You have already done that sin for yourself without him helping you or aiding you.
Isn't that
so
comforting?
We need to fight the major battle, the Jihad al-Akbar, which is the enemy within us. And then we have outer enemies, exterior enemies, which maybe Sheikh Muzaffar, who is an expert in
this field.
I like
how he pointed to me when he said external enemies.
No.
See, I told you, it's inside, it's coming out.
When it comes to exterior enemies, you know, it could be a country or government or, no, God forbid, not a country, but a government or regime.
I think there is a country.
I think
there,
in that
there's like
aspect.
There is a single country that I think the entire country is our sworn enemy.
Which country is that?
Israel.
No, Israel is
Israel
not a country.
Oh, no, you guys are so cute.
We
okay,
do
bro.
Not accept
so
Israel
as a what does it take for a person to be your enemy?
What
is
does it take? That's a really, really good question. Can I ask you the same question? Because I'm still trying to think about it. I'm still trying to figure out. I mean, what's the line that we draw? You know, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was walking down the street and his lady would always throw rubbish at him through the window just to mock the Prophet, right?
Yeah.
One day she falls sick. He goes to visit her.